Well, good afternoon, Saskatchewan. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, and Belton Johnson with you live from Boston Pizza Acre 21 location in Regina, out on Chuka Boulevard, getting ready for Saturday night's main event, as we're calling it. They have all the sports on. We got Blue Jays, we have U.S. Open, we have Toronto-Calgary a little later on, of course, the Riders and the Tiger Cats, the Oilers and the Panthers. It is a great day for sports, but we kick things off focusing on Game 2 for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders and the Hamilton Tiger Cats from Hamilton Stadium. That's going to get... It's no longer Tim Hortons Field. It's now Hamilton Stadium until they get a new naming rights partner. Kickoff 5 o'clock on TSN. Locker's going to swing in at 5 to take us up to puck drop of Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final with the Oilers and the Panthers. Evan Bray will join us live from Rogers Place in Edmonton. Jason Strudwick with a preview before puck drop, as well as your predictions at 1-877-332-8255. But let's get set for the Riders and the Tiger Cats after the season opener last week, a 31-26 win over the Ottawa Red Blacks. We'll get into the Kadeem Carey signing, but first things first, the good news is A.J. Ouellette and Roland Milligan Jr. Belton are good to go for this game tonight.
Hey, that's good, right? You got the hammer. Ouellette, he's back. He's got something to prove, right? And he actually got started pretty good last week. What, 3 carries, 21 yards. So I'm looking forward to him doing a lot more and just being a wrecking ball out there. And Agent Zero, I mean, what can you say? It's Milligan.
What a player.
Hell of a player there.
Yeah. Well, with this receiving core Hamilton has together, they need him.
Oh, yeah. Well, last week they gave up 413 yards, right? And most of it is most of the game was played without Roland Milligan Jr. in the backfield. They had to rejigger that secondary quite a bit, and they're not the same group without him. When he's back there, though, he's dangerous. I'm amazed both those players are playing, Jamie. After the headshots they took, I thought they're done for a week. I talked to Roland Milligan this week on Tuesday. I asked him if he got knocked out. He gave me a dirty look, Belton.
Yeah.
He said, no, I didn't get knocked out. And I don't know. He looked knocked out to me, but he can say whatever he wants when I ask him the question, I guess. But they're back playing. They go through protocol. I'm not doubting the protocol. It's still amazing that those guys are back playing, and they're huge contributors to this football team.
Of course, the quarterback again today, Trevor Harris, talks about the lessons learned from last week as well as the loss of one of his key receivers in Kean Schaefer Baker.
Yeah, offensively, you know, I thought we played a pretty good three quarters, you know, with the exception of turnovers. And, you know, through the fourth quarter, you know, we just kind of, you know, stalwarted, and it was our fault. We kind of got in our own way. And when you play against a good defense, they're going to capitalize, and they're going to, you know, poke the ball out. They're going to, you know, do things to make it a little more difficult for you. And so it's a good lesson to make sure we stay on the accelerator, because in this league, games are never over. You know, we're up 31-14, and everybody's like, oh, shoot, it's not over. It never is. And so we've just got to make sure we realize it's a full 60 minutes no matter what. And but to me, it's about who are we becoming in the process early in the season and finding ways to win, because everybody's going to be a different team when we get toward the end of the year.
How big of a loss is Kean, but what's it like to have Mitch back there?
It's a huge loss. You know, it's one of the best receivers in the league. Regardless of who you replace him with, it's a tough one. But we have depth, and we've got a great scouting department. They've brought in a great roster with great depth, and you know, we'll try and hold the fort down until he's back. We'll be excited to get Schaefer back once he's ready. But shoot, we don't bat an eye. We want to go out there and perform for him. I know that he's behind us and wanting us to succeed all the way, and so we're going to go out there and represent him the best we can. And we have tremendous guys. And shoot, I think Mitch Picton's one of the better receivers in this league too. I love throwing the ball to him. He's always good at his depth, trusty hands, sneaky good after the catch rather. And not a guy that we worry about.
That is Trevor Harris, of course. The loss of Kean Schaefer Baker isn't one you want to see in early in that game in week one. He's on a walking boot. He's with one of those carts that you you see rolling around now. And they say he should be back at some point this season. But not good news to lose Kean Schaefer Baker, Belton.
No, not at all. And Schaefer Baker, he's a big body, decent hands, I believe, right? And he's a trusted target of Trevor Harris there. And do we know exactly what's injured, though, Jamie? When I hear lower body and stuff, I don't like.
It's a foot injury.
It looks like a foot injury. Yeah, you know, and the way he was walking on it, it's. How do you expect?
Yeah,
but you know, it doesn't seem like he was still putting a little bit of weight on it. But it looked pretty serious right away. Nobody really noticed it. It happened so early in the first game, and we all what happened to Schaefer Baker? Nobody saw him. Those are the type of things you go, oh, bone broken or something, right? And there's so many bones in your foot. You know what? I'm talking out of turn here on a little bit on this one, but it's the type of injury that's what it looks like, right? Yeah. And losing him is a huge thing for this football team. However, Sam Emelis steps forward, and what a game Sam Emelis played last game. And we've still said Dell Duncan Busby's one of these up and coming great Canadian receivers. They still got Mitch Pickton, who's always dependable. We were so surprised he dropped one last week late in the game, right? The fourth quarter Mitch Pickton is always so valuable to this football team. So they can replace the Kean Schaefer Baker. They don't get quite the same proficiency, but they're not a bad football team in terms of depth, so they're still an okay at passing attack.
No, not bad when you can throw a vet like Mitch Pickton in there, but still have Emelis and Keyshawn Johnson now moving to slot. Dante Myers, of course, it can be all big play receivers for the Rough Riders. But there is a new face in the offense for Saskatchewan today, and it's a familiar one for those who have followed the Canadian Football League for the past half decade. That is Kadeem Carey was added to the roster, and he will play today as AJ Ouellette's backup. And he said it was a no-brainer to come to Saskatchewan and rejoin a guy he knows well in Corey Mace.
I mean, this definitely was the place when the free agency was going on. I mean, I was in big talks with him. I mean, he made it very, very easy. I mean, we have a lot of relationships, you know, in the past. So, I mean, Mueller and everybody over here, and Thurman, it was very simple. I saw them play, and man, the way they were clicking and the way they were looking, man, I just wanted to be a part of it.
You're a starter in this league, but Coach said you're happy enough to accept a PR spot. Just talk about that decision for you.
Hey, man, when you love football, you love football. And like I said, when I saw this team play, man, it was an easy yes to join something going on, because I could see something going on from the outside looking in, and I just want to be a part of something great that's happening right now.
When you got released by Toronto, obviously, I don't know if it was expected, but take me through your emotions and how that all played out in your words.
I mean, it definitely was a surprise and heartbroken, but you know, that's how the league goes and that's how the business is. So I accepted it, and you know, and that's how I ended up here. So I'm pretty excited to start my new journey, but yeah, that was definitely it was a shock.
He has Toronto next week on the schedule, circled, I'm sure. But Belton, what did you think? It was, as we were saying on the post-game show last week, how quick does Kadeem Carey's plane arrive at Regina Airport? And it was a day later when that plane arrived for him to sign with the Rough Riders.
That's a no-brainer, right? Like, and, you know, the thing with Kadeem Carey, yeah, he can run the ball, he could catch, he could block. And I'm thinking he probably knows this offense just a little bit when, you know, being over there with Calgary and everything, right? So it's a great match, man. This is a match made in heaven. And I hope he gets about 15 carries.
He might.
Give him two catches. 100 yards. Never mind.
I'm going to ask you that question about a minute after Daryl talks about Kadeem Carey.
Eastern All-Star last year, too, right? So it's not as if he's been on a huge downslide. Toronto, weird decision.
Why?
I don't know. You watch Toronto now, and they don't look really strong offensively, and Kadeem Carey was a huge part of that team last year. So I'm not sure why they did it, but I know Saskatchewan's happy, and he's happy.
Yeah.
Belton, who can handicap teams better than the players themselves? When he says, I see what they're doing and they're clicking, players know, don't they?
There's
certain spots that you want to go to play because things are working pretty well. And I trust that. I think Kadeem Carey knew that this is a pretty, like a golden gift for him to get another opportunity with a team that can really threaten to win the Grey Cup.
Okay, let's get to bold prediction question number one, shall we, Belton?
Let's
you need to turn this season around.
Oh, man.
Three weeks in, you're
Coach
trailing
Mace,
big
listen,
time.
Listen, Coach Mace, listen to us.
Daryl Davis is at 18 points. I'm at 16. Belton's at 5 start the year in bold predictions.
Going to go last or first this time?
I'm going to ask the running back question. How many touches for Kadeem Carey? How many yards? How many touches for A.J. Ouellette? And how many yards?
Oh, man, Jamie, God. Kadeem Carey, he's got to touch the ball I'm gonna go at least six carries.
Six carries or six, so six touches.
Touches, okay. Yeah, we'll go six touches.
How many yards?
32.
Okay, so not a big debut for Kadeem Carey. What about A.J. Ouellette?
Oh, man, here we go. And this is against the Ticats. Let's go 17.
Ooh, and how many total yards receiving and rushing for A.J. Ouellette?
Let's go 97.
97 yards. Wow. Daryl?
Okay, that changes things a little bit. 10 for Carey, 10 touches.
See, you got the advantage there.
A little bit. Yeah.
Oh.
But they have been splitting these guys a little bit. Well, especially when Bertrand Hudon went down.
Yeah,
right?
Thomas.
That really changed things, which is too bad. What a great game he played last week filling in for Ouellette, and he's been good through the preseason.
Yeah.
So now the fact that they got Carey, they've readjusted their roster a little bit so that they can use either one of them. So, yeah, I think they'll probably rely on Kadeem Carey a little bit. So 10, 60 yards, but I think Ouellette's still their main guy. What'd Belton say?
17.
Well, I don't think that high, though. Let's go 12 for 70.
12 for 70. Oh, my goodness. Out of the backfield for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders against this Tiger Cats team. Oh, I want to put Kadeem Carey. I'm going to go.
You've been to practice too, haven't you, Jim?
Yeah.
it was all indoors this week too, though, Belton. They moved it all. It was too smoky, so yeah.
I'm going to go. I'm going to split the difference between Daryl and Belton.
Of course,
and go
you are.
Eight. and I'm going to go with 50, and then AJ. I'm going to go 15 for. I'm just going to say a flat 100. So 150 total from those two today.
There we go.
For the Rough Riders. As we continue here on the Green Zone, a pregame show and our Saturday night main event watch party, Boston Pizza, Acre 21 is where you can find us. Grab a seat because, well, right now you got, F1 qualifying for the Canadian Grand Prix. You have the U.S. Open. You have the Blue Jays. You have the Stampeders in Toronto with the Stamps leading 9-1 late in the second quarter of that one. But, of course, 5 o'clock kickoff, Riders and the Tiger Cats. 6 o'clock puck drop, Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final. Locker's going to be in for an hour special edition of this weekend Green Zone from 5 till 6 ahead of puck drop in Edmonton. Jason Strudwick will help us preview the Stanley Cup Final today as well. And it's all right here on Home of the Fans, the Green Zone, 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Welcome in, of course, a special Saturday here on the Green Zone, getting you ready for our watch party, Boston Pizza, Acre 21 location in Regina off Chuka Boulevard as the Riders and the Tiger Cats get going at 5, and, of course, the Oilers and the Panthers game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final at 6 o'clock. We will take you right up to puck drop. But we continue with the Green Zone pregame show with the Riders and the Tiger Cats, the 1-0 Riders, the 0-1 Tiger Cats at Hamilton Stadium on TSN at 5 o'clock. The other CFL game almost at the half right now. It is the Stampeders 9, the Toronto Argonauts 1. But right now it is time now for Britt and Grace, all or nothing on a raw talent now refined into Vaughn Campbell.
Tavon Campbell has had a football career many can only dream of. The defensive back played a few years in the CFL before making the jump to the NFL, where he spent 6 years, and he made an impact there as well.
Accepted and touchdown! Tavon Campbell picks off Flacco's first pass attempt.
But now he's back in a city he loves to hopefully win a Grey Cup.
I attribute this city to my family, and, you know, I met my fiance here. Her dad also played for the Riders back in 89 when they won a Grey Cup. And, you know, my son was born here and kind of just created a family and built a family from there. So it means a lot. It's just like, I don't know. It's like it's the second home, you know, they say.
At the beginning of his journey, many described him as a raw athlete. In fact, Campbell still holds the record for the fastest 40-yard dash time at the CFL Combine.
You know, a few years later, people hit me up, oh, the record's still standing. And I'm like, damn, it must be good then. But nah, just being out there running, you know, they got, back in the days, they had fast guys like Banks and stuff, and having to go with them and compete against them and just being step for step with them kind of showed me, like, okay, I am quick.
Over the years, that athlete has been molding into the player he is now.
Beginning of my career was more refining my physical skills of, you know, technique and whatnot. But I think towards the end of my career was a lot about the knowledge of the game and just understanding offense more.
Current Riders offensive coordinator Mark Mueller was the quarterback with the Rams when Campbell was there. He's seen him refine his skills every time he's taken to the field.
He's got better every day of every year, not just with the Rams, but when he was with in the CFL, when he went to the NFL, he's come back. And now here with the Riders getting back, you know, with us getting back to the CFL game, I think he just works hard. I mean, that's what you want from a guy like him.
One person who was there for the start of his pro career is his coach, Josh Bell. Bell was a defensive back with Calgary when Campbell was there.
As I got to watch him evolve, even playing in nickel situations in the NFL, I watched him learn how to play with his speed, right? His speed could have been a detriment at certain points, but he learned how to win and use the nitro button and when not to. And saw him turn into a playmaker a little bit. He got around the ball a little bit more.
Now Bell believes Campbell has become a great defender.
I think now it's like a rose through the concrete. Now we're just going to see him blossom even more. We're going to see more of the thumbs down, as right when they tried him with Geno down in the red zone, right? Geno is one of our best receivers in this league. For him to instantly get there, not have respect for the man, and just play ball. A lot of guys get in that position and they fret because it's Geno. TC was looking to get that ball, right?
But even though he's been playing pro football since 2015, Campbell still feels there's a lot of room to grow.
I do feel refined. I feel like I'm still just learning, though, because I can never have too much information. But yeah, no, I definitely do feel a little bit of weight off my shoulder compared to my first year when I'm coming in and, you know, trying to learn everything on the fly. And yeah, just more comfortable.
For the Green Zone, I'm Britton Gray.
Yes, indeed. From, well, Daryl, when he was a member of the Regina Rams, he was all speed. Like, that was his game, period. Was, okay, I got beat, but I'll just make up for it with the raw speed. Then when he got signed in the National Football League, a lot of people went, okay, and it's about coaches saying, show me an athlete and I can make them a football player. And that is exactly the story of we've seen the growth and development of Tavon Campbell into now what is a pretty darn good defensive back in his return to the CFL.
Yeah, Chris Jones knew that, right? Chris Jones is pretty, for whatever we talk about, Chris Jones sees athletes and knows how to turn them into football players. And Tavon Campbell was a great track start at the University of Regina, right? All sorts of meet records and prizes. And
I think
he still
holds the indoor 60.
Yeah,
record.
He might, right? So wouldn't you love a guy like that who wants to play corner on your football team? Sure. I'll show you how to defend somebody if you can run that fast. So, and Josh Bell, he's still one of my favorite interviews. Rose through concrete. I love that metaphor. That's so good. Josh Bell's one of my favorite defensive backs coach for the Rough Riders. One of my favorite guys to speak with. And that's why you see it. What a great image that is, isn't it? And it pretty well describes Tavon Campbell coming out of nowhere to become a great football player.
But, fellas, how did the Riders give up 400 and what?
13. Well, they didn't have Roland Milligan last week, right?
Okay, that's what we're going to talk it up as.
They had to move everybody around, right?
Well,
Campbell went to the other side.
Ottawa, they took away the run. Ottawa just threw the whole game.
And that was Drew Brown, the quarterback. They hurt Drew Brown late in the game on one of those sacks. But Drew Brown has had three straight 400-yard passing games. Belton, so he's a pretty good player.
Right.
You saw last night that Ottawa is not much without him, right? So,
oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So he's a good quarterback. And the Rough Riders stop the run, give up a pass, but try to turn it into turnovers. That was the unusual thing last game, that the Rough Riders didn't get any, no fumble recoveries, no interceptions. The only turnover was on third down gamble that failed. So that's not a typical Rough Rider game. That many yards, Belton, they'll usually get some interceptions. So take it easy on these poor guys.
I'm
just
looking at Bo Levi and Kenny Lawler, but all right.
Okay, all right. How were they last week? How many times did Bo Levi miss Kenny Lawler last week?
I'm
A bunch. Bo Levi.
I know who they're picking to win this game. So
I know who you're picking. I saw it on social media. Couldn't believe it. Almost choked on a chicken wing seeing that prediction. We'll get to that a little bit later on the Green Zone pregame show. Of course, our watch party happens 5 o'clock, Riders and the Tiger Cats, 6 o'clock, Oilers and the Panthers in the Stanley Cup Final. Game 5, series tied 2-2. More on that series a little later on with Jason Strudwick of Got Your Back podcast out of Edmonton. Evan Bray is going to join us live from Rogers Place as well ahead of Game 5 with the Oilers and the Panthers. But coming up next, speak of the devil, it's time to hear from Kenny Lawler when we go behind enemy lines. The newest receiver, the Hamilton Tiger Cats, is next on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. As we begin our Saturday with the Green Zone pregame show, the Riders in Hamilton, 1-0 Riders, 0-1 Tiger Cats. Week 2 of the CFL season kicked off earlier this week, of course, with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers beating the BC Lions 34-20, and the Montreal Alouettes last night beating Ottawa 39-18. We'll go around the CFL a little bit later on. Also coming up here on the Green Zone this afternoon, the Locker and I will take you to Puck Drop between 5 and 6 ahead of the Stanley Cup Final. Game number 5 series is tied at 2 there. Jason Strudwick will be our guest, and we'll chat with Evan Bray live from Rogers Place as he's going to take in Game 5 tonight. He was telling me he and his son booked hotels. They guessed on which weekend they might have games in Edmonton. Booked hotels before they send out the schedule. Those hotels have gone up $400.
Oh wow!
They hit it, nailed it perfectly since they booked those.
Are they in the rink?
No. Evan will be in the ring.
Oh, jeez.
They were on the internet right when the tickets went on sale to be there for Game 5.
Evan's getting paid too much, obviously, to be able to afford those tickets. Sorry, Evan.
His last job might have had something to do with that,
that's
too.
That's true, yeah.
Those numbers were public.
I didn't think Evan was. He's not an Oilers fan, though, right?
Islanders fan.
He has jumped on the bandwagon.
All right.
His son, Cy, is a Oilers fan. So he's jumped on the bandwagon, apparently, for these playoffs. So I imagine he'll be back in his Oilers jersey tonight ahead of game number 5. But as we get back to the Green Zone pregame show, it's time to go behind enemy lines.
Peeking over the sidelines and sneaking into enemy territory.
Our man is behind enemy lines.
This is Behind Enemy Lines.
Each and every week, we take you behind enemy lines, and this week I talked to the newest member of the Hamilton Tiger Cats, one of their big free agent signings who ate up the Riders for 177 yards and 3 touchdowns in last year's West Final. I chatted with Kenny Lawler how the last month has gone adjusting to life in the Hammer.
I've been feeling good. It's feeling good. We had our training camp, man, put in a lot of work. Those 2 preseason games, then we had our first season opener. It didn't go the way we want, but, you know, our guys, we're still tight together. And, we're just ready to get a good crack at a great opponent.
What's it like working with Bo Levi Mitchell for the first time in your career?
Man, it's love. It's love. I've always heard great things about Bo when he was in Calgary, and then obviously when he got here in Hamilton. And, to be working with him, he's the ultimate competitor. He throws an unbelievable ball. And to be his wide receiver that he's looking upon to make some plays for him, it's dope because, having a guy like that, like I said, is a walking Hall of Famer. You want to do your best. You want to give him everything that he needs to be successful. And, it just makes me a better player. So it's been love working with Bo, man.
How much is they're still going to need that chemistry, that timing that you're going to have to work on in the early going this season before it really starts to click?
Oh man, yeah, no, it's always an ongoing process, just trying to find that perfect chemistry. When you think it's perfect, it's never as perfect as you might think it would be. So we're always working on it, and we're gonna get there. We're gonna get there to where we're just clicking like night and day. And it's been good. We've made a lot of progress, and I'm just looking forward to when we actually get to that mark, because when we do, it's going to be unbelievable, and I know that we're just going to be rolling.
Kenny Lawler with us, Hamilton Tiger Cats receiver. When Hamilton goes out, brings in a few guys from Winnipeg, you're brought in to build a culture and help with the culture in Hamilton. So how do you go about doing that as a veteran of the CFL?
All right, great question. For me personally, I think it's just about being yourself, right? As a football player, you being a competitor, that's going to show. By being a veteran, you got to show the guys how to work. It's not always also being about the most vocalist guy, right? Oh, you got to do this, the rah-rah guy and all that. No, it's like, you got to show guys by your work ethic, how you approach days, how you approach meetings, and then when it's now time to go onto the field, how do you do it? Are you just a guy that just thinks you could just turn it on during the game? Or are you going to actually go out there and practice? And then when you're in practice, are you, trying to bring the best out of your players? And then once, everybody sees that and feels you that, you're coming in trying to, buy in, but also, show the guys that you're one of them as well, One of my biggest things is I wasn't really trying to bring stuff from Winnipeg to Hamilton, because I seen that Hamilton had a really good team. And so my part about being a leader was, how do I grow and how do I fit in with these guys here? And once I fit in and be myself and they accept me, they'll see me as a leader just by how I approach the day, how good my work ethic is, about the plays that I make on the field, and just how I interact with the guys. So that's really how I think you kind of make yourself a leader in a new spot without trying to make yourself a leader. You know what I mean?
So, Kenny, we watch you play, and a lot of the fans across the Canadian Football League will watch Kenny Lawler and say, how the heck did he do that? Like, are there plays in your career where you even go, I can't believe I actually threw my hand up and actually brought that in?
There's been a couple plays. And, man, to be honest, man, it's just like I think I'm just my best. I'm my best self as a football player when I'm just not out there thinking, right? When I've gone out throughout the course of the week and I know everything with it. And the fine details of a play, and I'm watching my film, trying to find steps on the opponent, just that extra little edge. And then once I'm fully comfortable, 100% comfortable and prepared, it's just like, I'm a man of faith. And I think, my skills come up from the man up above. But then also, but being prepared as well, I think it just kind of happens. I amaze myself because sometimes it's just like I'm not even thinking about making a one-handed catch, or I'm not even thinking about jumping up and, about to, make a spectacular catch. It's just, something that is just like I'm unconsciously, consciously doing, if that makes sense.
And the ball's in the air. You got to go get it, right?
Got to go get it, and you can't really think about how I'm going to get it. You just got to make it happen. And when I just make stuff happen, just great things happen. So, I got teammates out there that 11 of them doing their job. So, without them, I can't really be able to do my job to the fullest. But when they do their job and, Bo gets that ball in the air, it's just something that comes into me and just makes me go out there and make a spectacular play. It's special.
Okay. You're now in black and gold. You're no longer in blue and gold, but does the hatred for the green and white still remain the same?
I respect those guys over there, man. They're good. They're a good football team. They always been, even when I was in the blue and gold. So, at the end of the day, we're football players, trying to make a living for our families, trying to make it to the next play, the next game. So, I don't really hate them guys. I respect them. But at the end of the day, we are playing an opponent. I don't have much to say about them other than I do respect them. And,
Okay, one final question. Yes, I don't know if it's going to be as weird for you as it has been for me through training camp and through the first couple of weeks of practice, and I see Andrew Harris wearing green and white. I never thought I'd see the day, Kenny. How about you?
To be honest, I didn't think I'd see the day either, but when I heard the news, I was just like, man, that's dope, man. I know he knew Coach Mace. He was on the coaching staff when they won that Grey Cup. So, being professional football players now turning in, transitioning to coaching, stuff like that happens, man. So, it wasn't nothing against him. He's going where, the coaching job is. But it was, at first it was kind of a little, crazy to see. But then, you know, hey, you know, he is where his feet is. So, you know, I respect him.
That is Kenny Lawler, receiver now of the Hamilton Tiger Cats. As last year, as I mentioned, in the West Final against the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, he only had four catches. That's the crazy thing. He had four catches.
Four?
177 yards and three touchdowns against the Rough Riders in last year's West Final. Four catches, three of them touchdowns, and 170. That's over 40 yards a catch from Kenny Lawler. So that is one of our bold prediction questions. Now that he has Bo Levi Mitchell throwing him the ball, which felt like 20 times last week against the Calgary Stampeders, what does Kenny Lawler do today? Keep in mind, the person on Kenny Lawler last year was usually Amari Henderson, who is no longer a member of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
That's why he's no longer a member of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Now a member of the Ottawa Red Blacks for Amari Henderson. Kenny Lawler, how many catches, how many yards, how many touchdowns today as he goes up against a team he's usually likes playing in the Saskatchewan Rough Riders?
You want to go last, Belton?
You I'm going first there.
Okay. You want to go first? Go ahead.
Six catches.
92 yards.
92.
One touchdown.
I went last time, so I'll let Daryl go last this time. I'm going to go with eight catches, 120 yards. However, he won't get into the end zone. I'm going to say zero touchdowns.
Okay, five catches, 70 yards, one touchdown. I really think that watching last week, that their offense isn't much.
Yeah.
And Bo Levi Mitchell was so off target last week, I don't know if he can put it back together this week with Kenny Lawler. I know they want to. They want to get in the sink, but he didn't show me last week that he could find them. Bo Levi Mitchell was overthrowing everybody. He wasn't set. He wasn't even close to the target range of Kenny Lawler, and I think that might continue this week.
There is bold prediction question number two here on the Green Zone pregame show. Of course, ahead of our gigantic Saturday night main event watch party, Boston Pizza, Acre 21 is where you can find us in Regina this evening. Of course, it is the Riders and the Tiger Cats at 5 on TSN. And then at 6 o'clock, it is the Oilers and the Panthers in the Stanley Cup Final. Of course, series tied 2-2. Locker's going to be in. We'll have Jason Strudwick on between 5 and 6 o'clock to get you ready for puck drop in Edmonton tonight for the Stanley Cup Final. But coming up next, we'll go inside the green and white. We'll hear from Micah Johnson. We'll hear from Sam Emelis next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.